Kids are dismissed, and let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. We'll start with one verse tonight, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Tonight we're going to talk about the blessing of walking in fellowship with the Lord. So the blessing of walking in fellowship with the Lord, and it is based on 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. You know what? Actually, we'll read the entire chapter. Sorry, verse 1, we'll read down to verse 10, but the main text is verse 7. So starting at verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, we do thank you again this evening for allowing us to be gathered together. Thank you for the safety you gave all of us as we traveled in. Father, again, I ask that you would establish our thoughts during this hour. I pray that you would remove all distractions from our minds. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to draw near unto you. Father, draw our hearts unto you. Help us, Lord, to be more established in our relationship, in our fellowship with you. Pray that you'd help the children to understand and learn the Bible lessons that they're going to learn and that they're going to hear tonight. Help them to have fun with the games as well, Lord. But we want the Word of God to take root in their hearts and our hearts as well, continuing to dwell richly in our hearts, conforming us more into the image of Christ. Lord, helping the fruit of the Spirit to be cultivated in our hearts, to bear out in our life. Father, we just want you to be glorified in everything said and done. We want you to be glorified in the individual lives that have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. Lord, the individual lives that you have begun a good work in, and that you promised you would continue to do that good work until the day of Jesus Christ, when we see him face to face and our mortal body is changed into the immortal body, where we put off corruption, we put on incorruption, and Father, everything is perfect. We have that glorified body, and we are with the Lord for eternity, Father. We're looking for that day, and we just continue to yield ourselves to you, knowing that you'll continue to do the good work in us, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So again tonight, talking to us about the blessings of our fellowship with the Lord. And that those blessings can only come while we are walking with the Lord, abiding with him, him abiding with us, as Jesus talks about him being the true vine, we're the branches, and we have to abide in him and him in us, so we're nourished, so we can grow, so we bear much fruit. And here in John, John talks about this fellowship in the light, being able to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And we also have fellowship one with another, fellowship with other believers because of being in the light of Christ. I want you to notice, though, in verse number 1, because it is, again, we're talking about the blessings of our fellowship, walking with the Lord, but John makes a statement in verse 1 that none of us understand. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, right? All things were created by Him. Without Him, nothing was created. But John is speaking of experience where he visibly saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He physically touched the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He walked with the Lord on a daily basis. He says in verse 2, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it." Again, speaking of Jesus Christ, "and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ." So he speaks of his experience of fellowshipping and walking with the Lord. Now we have our own experience of walking with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord. It's different right now than what it was for John and the other disciples. Again, when Jesus resurrected, he came to those two disciples that were headed to Emmaus. He came alongside them, asked them, you know, why are you sad? What's this conversation you're having about? He kept them from knowing who he was. They thought he was a stranger, and they said, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard what has happened to Jesus Christ? And now we're being told that he is alive," and, you know, they haven't seen him, but they're hearing all this and they're talking about it. They're confused. They're sad because their best friend, Jesus Christ, their Messiah, the one they thought was going to set up his kingdom right then, he's dead, but they're hearing these, you know, stories that he's alive and he's been seen by Peter. He's been seen by Mary and the others. And Jesus just kind of plays along with them and starts talking to them about how it must have been this way. And he just teaches them the Word of God, going all the way back to the law, all the way back to Moses' writings. And he just expounds to them the truth of what had to happen with the Messiah, what had the rejection, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And they invite him into their home to have a meal. And Jesus, as he always did with his disciples, took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it. But the Bible records when he broke that bread, their eyes opened, not physically, but spiritually opened. They realized, this is Jesus. And he disappears, just vanishes in front of them. Man, and they turned and they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us? Wasn't there something different when he was talking about the scriptures?" Because remember, when he was in the tabernacle, or when he was in the different synagogues teaching, everyone said, "He doesn't read and teach like the scribes. There's something different because he is the Word." The words he would read from Isaiah, different portions of scripture at different times, that's him. Those are his words. So yeah, he would read with authority, with love and compassion, right? So those disciples, they went back into Jerusalem, back into town, you know, to meet up with the other disciples to let them know we've seen the resurrected Christ. So they all had this relationship, this fellowship that was a little different than ours because we have not visibly seen the Lord yet. But we have experienced the Lord in our life. We've experienced his presence in our life. We have experienced his fellowship, his love, his compassion, his forgiveness, his restoration in our life. We have experienced all of that. We just haven't visibly seen him yet. But on the day of the rapture, you and I will see him face to face. We will be like him. We will be in our resurrected bodies. We'll be in our glorified bodies and be able to be in his presence for eternity because we will not be dwelling in sinful flesh anymore. So it is a wonderful fellowship that we have. And John here talking about this fellowship and wanting everyone to have the same fellowship, but he warns, when you look at verse 9, he says, "If we confess our sins," because no one can have fellowship with God without the forgiveness of sin. No sinner can have fellowship with the Lord. Now, we're sinners saved by grace, but I think you understand. A lost person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't have fellowship with God. But you can, but we got to be careful again that we don't harbor sin in our life, that we don't harbor iniquity in our heart, because God said that he would resist us. He would resist us. He would not fellowship with us. Now, he would never leave us nor forsake us, but you're going to feel what seems like the absence of the Lord, because you're not going to feel his love, his peace, his grace, because he wants you to get rid of the sin in your life that is a hindrance, all right? But there is a sweetness, there is a blessing to the fellowship that you and I get to enjoy. In verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, if everybody has a choice to either walk in the light with the Lord or not walk in the light with the Lord. There are blessings in the light and there are non-blessings out of the light, if I can say it like that. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As I read that and I think about this, you and I can never pull God down to where we're at. When the prodigal son was in the pig pen, did the father go to the son in the pig pen? And the answer is no. The son had to choose to leave the pig pen and go back to the father. And when the father saw him afar off returning, then the father runs to him, falls on him, weeps, hugs him, kisses him, calls for a robe to cover up his rags, calls for the ring to be put on his finger to signify, this is my son. This is not a servant, right? Because he was returning with that heart, I'll just ask my father if I can be a servant because I'm not worthy to be a son, because he recognized his sin. He recognized his rejection of the father. So he was humbly coming back to the father, but it never changes the son's status. It never changes a child's status with the parents. Just because a child goes wayward doesn't mean they're no longer a son or daughter, right? And they come back, you're still my son, you're still my daughter, and I'm still going to love you and treat you like my son and my daughter. And that's what the prodigal son's story shows us, is that our Heavenly Father treats his children like he doesn't go to the pig pen. He can't. Sin can't dwell with the Father. That's why he's given us of the Holy Spirit to convict us. Because when you read the account of the prodigal son, the Bible says when he came to his rightful mind, it was brought to his mind how good he had it in his father's house. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit convicting the wayward child. You've done wrong. You were better off at the Father's house under his authority, under his care, under his supervision, under his love, under his grace. He took care of you, right? The Father didn't go to the pig pen, all right? So we cannot, as it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he never leaves the light of his glory that he's in, but he brings us up into the light with him when we have, when we're walking in unison with the Lord, when we have confessed our sin, all right? So the hymn that we sang first, The Everlasting Arms, right? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I mean, the everlasting arms that never get tired of holding you up, never get tired of directing you, never get tired of providing for you. That is the arms of your Lord and Savior, all right? He never gets tired of the fellowship with you and me. So the blessings of walking in fellowship with the Lord, first thing I want you to see is it is a prescribed walk. It is a prescribed walk. He says, but if we walk in the light, it is a prescription for a healthy walk. All right, it is a prescription for a healthy walk, because our spiritual walk with the Lord will only be healthy if we walk with the Lord in his light, in his light. The Bible says in John 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God doesn't lead us into darkness. He's not the God of confusion. So if you find yourself going through a dark time in your life, if you find yourself confused, that's not of God. God leads us into the light. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to show us everything, but he doesn't leave us in the darkness. He doesn't lead us into, because what's in darkness? When you think about spiritual darkness, torment, confusion, right? Unbelief, that's not of God. So if you find yourself even, there's been times in my life where I've felt like just a black cloud over me. It just seems like this black cloud's following me everywhere, and it just seems like I'm being just, you know, attacked and bombarded and oppressed by, you know, the devil and just different things. Well, that's not of God. That's your enemy trying to oppress you, trying to afflict you, trying to get you to think that God doesn't love you and God's being cruel to you and God's not, you know, there for you, all right? And those are times of trials where God will even allow that at different times so that we'll seek him more, all right? But again, it is a prescribed walk. God says, walk in the light as he is in the light. Again, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So it is a prescription for a healthy walk, a healthy spiritual walk. We must walk in the light with the Lord. All right, so walk in the light. Look at First Peter. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verses 9 and 10. Again, you and I will not have a healthy spiritual walk with the Lord if we don't choose to walk in his direction, in his light. You may have the title of Christian. You may be a child of the Lord, but if you don't walk in unison with the Lord, you're not going to have the blessings. You're just not. God will resist you because then you're walking in pride. Because to walk in opposition to God is to walk in pride. That's exactly what got Satan kicked out of heaven, because pride was found in him. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I mean, five times he said, I will. And sometimes we take on that attitude, well, I'm just going to do what I think is right. Instead of walking with the Lord, Lord, will you show me what's right? Will you lead me in the right direction? All right? Again, if we try to walk contrary to the Lord, it's just not going to be blessed. God's not going to walk with us in the direction we want to go. He's walking in a direction that he's always been faithful and steadfast in. I mean, when you think about the children of Israel, they had to choose to leave Egypt. God made a way for them to leave. In fact, it wasn't a, does God want me to leave Egypt or not? The Egyptians were forcing them out because God had killed their firstborn. And they wanted the Israelites out of their land. So God made a way for them to leave. So they chose to leave, and God blessed them as they were leaving because the Egyptians were just giving them clothing, gold, silver, just take it and get out of here. Now their hearts turned, the Egyptians, and Pharaoh and his army went after them. When you read the account, God leads them through the desert, through the mountain region, to the Red Sea, and it just seems like they're trapped. It seems like God led them to a dead end, because you read the account, before God parted the Red Sea, I mean, they're facing the Red Sea, there's mountains on either side, the Egyptian army is coming behind them. It's like, why would God do this? Why would God lead me to this seemingly dead end where I can't escape? There's nothing I can do. Because the majority of the time in our life, God doesn't want us to do anything but trust him and follow his direction. Because, you know, the account, Moses stretches out the rod over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parts. Boy, they gladly followed that path. That was the only path that they could follow. They're not going to go back in the direction that the Pharaoh and his army is coming. There's mountains that they can't climb. That's the only direction, God's direction. And were they blessed by walking God's direction? Absolutely. They got to the other side. The army, the enemy army, was destroyed in the Red Sea. So what was a blessing to the Israelites was a curse to the Egyptians. It was a curse to the Egyptians. So this walk that we have with the Lord truly is a blessed walk. God is a God of light, and we are to walk in the light with the Lord. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 10, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness." Because it was a dark time in the Israelites' lives, in slavery. No humanly way out. They had been in slavery for over 430 years in slavery, generation after generation, born into slavery. It's a picture of sin, being born into sin, being born with that sin nature, never humanly able to get out, but God made a way, right? When he had the blood put on the doorpost, and that blood saved the firstborn of every Israelite home. Because when the death angel came, he passed over the homes where the blood was applied. So, I mean, it's wonderful. God called them out of darkness just as he's called us spiritually out of darkness. Again, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Again, as I keep referencing the Israelites coming out of Egypt, he called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. What was it that led the children of Israel by night when they left Egypt? It was a pillar of fire. It was the Shekinah glory of God. He led them by his light. And during the day, it was a pillar of cloud. Again, it's the glory of God, because when you would read with Moses in the tabernacle, there were many times that God would fill the tabernacle with his presence, and it said it was like a cloud. No one could go in. God just enveloped that entire tabernacle with his presence. So he called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. He led them with his marvelous light. You and I have the light of Christ in us, leading us every day. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and in this light we have fellowship. Now, we are to not only walk in the light, but walk as children of light. We need to have the outward appearance of God's children. Walk as children of light. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness before salvation, before Christ came into your life, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Because, again, we bear the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to walk as the children of darkness, doing the things that rebellious children of the darkness and of the night do. But we are to walk as children of the light, because we are the children of light. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men." What light? The light of Christ that's in you, right? Because you and I are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a peculiar people. We're to stick out like sore thumbs. We're to be like Peter. They took knowledge they had been with Christ. There has to be something different. So we can't talk the way we used to talk. We can't think the way we used to think. Our life has to portray Christ. It has to portray what family we're part of. Now, there are multiple families in this church, but we're all part of one spiritual family. And that one spiritual family is who we are supposed to portray to the world. Because, you know, families, majority of families, everybody, you know, somewhat are the same. I mean, you can tell, yeah, they're part of that family. Because I remember growing up, whenever I would go to my grandparents' house, and their neighbor would come over and talk, and she would always, "You look so much like Johnny." I mean, just talking about my dad, and "You're just a spitting image," and all of this. I mean, because people can tell, you know, who's your dad? I hope no one looks at me and says, "Yeah, he's a child of the devil because of the way I live my life." I wouldn't want someone to think that, and I'm a child of the King, and yet they're mistaking me for a child of the enemy because of how I live. I live in contradiction to the light of Christ, in contradiction to the fellowship with the Father. So walk as children of light, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So it is a prescribed walk. We are to walk in the light because he is in the light. And it is a priceless fellowship. This is a fellowship. This is a relationship that is better and greater than any earthly relationship. You can't get a better relationship than with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get a better fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will say just before we get to it, this fellowship with the Lord makes other fellowships sweeter. Other fellowships with the saints. It also can make other fellowships, maybe you have family members that aren't saved. You can still make it a sweet fellowship with them because you're showing them Christ. You're showing them, hey, this new family I'm a part of, it's the best family in the world. But it is. It's a priceless fellowship, so don't drag it through the mud. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, because this priceless fellowship is a fellowship with your Creator. With your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Savior. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11 and 12. All right, so we are the recipients of true life. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You and I have life, and it is the abundant life that Jesus promised. Now, whether or not we individually are living that abundant life or not, that's between us and the Lord. But he's given us an abundant life because that life is in him. That life is in walking in the light with him, having that sweet fellowship with our Lord because we value that fellowship. It's a priceless fellowship. Throughout your lifetime, you've had friends come and go. You've had people that weren't really friends. They were just acquaintances. You knew them because they were in the circle you were running with, or they were friends of someone else that showed up one time. Just people you knew that really weren't your friends. So you didn't really value them that much. But our fellowship with the Lord is priceless. We treat people in various ways, good or bad. Some people take advantage of other people. Some people misuse people for their advantage. But our fellowship with the Lord should always be with the mindset and the heart I just want to be with you. I don't really need anything from you, Lord. We get blessings. He does take care of us. But you know what it's like when someone always just wants something from you? They're not really your friend. They say you're a friend. They say that they are your friend, but they're just always wanting something from you. And you feel it. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt just used and not really loved? You felt like, well, you know, I'm just the piggy bank when they need something, right? But that's not the way we should treat the Lord. It's a priceless fellowship because he brought us into the fellowship. As I was talking to someone before the service tonight, the reconciliation. God reconciling the world unto himself through Jesus Christ. God bringing us into fellowship with him. There's nothing God had to get right. We had to get right, but we can't get right. So Jesus Christ, he's the mediator between God and man. So he made us right so we could be in fellowship with the Savior, be in fellowship with our Creator. It is a priceless fellowship that you and I never need to disregard, never need to take advantage of, but hold it up, something that's valuable, something that you protect, something that's near and dear to your heart and my heart as well, because he has allowed us to receive the gift of life, the gift of eternal life, but also we are the recipients of his love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're the recipients of his life, because obviously he lives within every believer. He abides within every believer. And our life is more meaningful now because we have Christ in our life. But also we are the recipients of his love. 1 John chapter 4, and you look at verses 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute, the atonement for our sin. So we are the recipients of his love. His love that is very valuable, his love that's very precious, his love that changes lives. But also we are the recipients of his joy. We are the recipients of so much in this fellowship with the Lord. His life, his love, his joy. Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, he says it's his joy in you, but then he says it to where it's your joy. You have the joy of the Lord in you. He says, it's my joy, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So it's the Lord's joy in you, but that joy you have can be full because sometimes you're not joyous. Sometimes you allow things to rob the joy of the Lord. That's why in Psalm 51, David says, restore the joy of thy salvation to me. He allowed something to rob the joy from him. And he asked the Lord to restore his joy in him. Now, it is the Lord's joy, but you're the keeper of it. It belongs to you. He makes it personal because what do you do with your personal things? You just let everybody have it? You let everyone just come and take whatever they want? No, you kind of guard and you decide who can have and who can't, right? It's the Lord's joy, but what are you going to do with it? He's allowed you to have it. He's allowed me to have it. It's a joy that's not of this world. It's a joy that is not attached to superficial things. It's not attached to the things of this world. Because the joy he gives comes through our fellowship with him. The fellowship that he bought with his precious blood. The fellowship that he restored. The fellowship that he died for. The fellowship that he cleanses us with his blood. Because remember back in 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are the recipients in this fellowship of his life, his love, his joy, because it's a joy that, again, don't allow the joy of the Lord in your life to hinge on material possessions, earthly relationships, things that come and go. Because in your lifetime, you've had good things come and go. You've had things that brought you joy in your life, and then it was gone. And that joy kind of went with it. The joy of the Lord does not need to hinge on earthly things. It is an eternal joy that he gives us. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and the shame that would come with it. He didn't find joy in the cross. What was before him was what he would receive again after the cross, sitting at the right hand of the Father, having that fellowship with the Father. That's the joy that was set before him. Because Jesus would tell the Lord in John 17, glorify thyself. Glorify thyself in me. It was a fellowship. Jesus was showing his disciples and us through the word, it's a fellowship. Jesus had a fellowship with the Father, right? Because even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying with such intensity that he's sweating great drops of blood. He's praying to the Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When you read, God the Father sends some angels to refresh Jesus, to encourage him. It kind of shows us that when we go to our Father, our Heavenly Father, and we pour out our heart to him, man, he encourages us. He gives us the joy we need. He gives us, I can't think of the word that I want, but he helps us to be filled with the ability to accomplish what has been set before us. Sometimes we dismiss Jesus as, okay, he's God. Of course he could do all of that. Of course he could endure the cross. Of course he could, you know, he was God. But when you read scripture, he allowed himself to feel the pain. He allowed himself to feel the rejection. He allowed himself to feel the fatigue, the hatred from people. And where did he go to get his encouragement, just the ability to be able to fulfill the Father's will? Because he said, I came to fulfill the Father's will. He went to the Father. And he had this relationship that he could cast his cares upon the Father. I feel this way. Can this cup pass from me? Don't you find it strange that Jesus would even breathe that prayer, knowing that's why he came? But it's to give us an example. It's to give us not just an example, but the fact that he robed himself in human flesh. He knows what he's going to experience. He knows the pain. And no one wants to go through pain. Nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thy will be done. And the Lord, the Heavenly Father, strengthened him, because then he goes back to James, John, and Peter and says, rise up. It's time to go. The hour is at hand. He poured his heart out to the Father. The Father strengthened him to accomplish the Father's will. That's walking in the light with the Lord. Being able to honestly cast your care upon the Lord so you can be strengthened by the Lord to keep living the life that you're living with the Lord and the joy of the Lord. Again, the joy that was set before him. He was able to endure the cross. You and I are recipients of his life, his love, his joy, and no doubt his peace. Jesus said in John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In Philippians 4, 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God will always keep our hearts and minds through Christ. But my mind is just full of all the what ifs, and I'm just, well, that's not the peace of God. We have to cast that upon the Lord because God promises his peace will keep our minds. Look at, go to Isaiah 26. Keep finger in 1 John, but go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. "As God's people, we have no business being afraid. The temptation comes, but we don't have to give in to the temptation of fear. God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he's given us some things to do so our minds won't be filled with fear, but it'll be filled with peace." Isaiah 26, he says in verse number 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So we're told why we need to trust on the Lord, because there's everlasting strength with the Lord, right? "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It does matter what occupies our mind, because again, the Lord wants us to be filled with his joy. He wants our hearts and minds to be filled with his peace. It doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted, you know, with, you know, fearful things or doubtful things, but we're not to entertain those in our minds. Because whatever we entertain in our mind is going to affect our heart, which is going to affect our relationship with the Lord, whether we trust the Lord, follow the Lord, you know, cast our care upon the Lord, right? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "We are admonished to finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And you already know the Word of God is every bit of that. The Lord Jesus Christ is every bit of that. So you think about the promises of God. Again, how could Jesus endure the cross of Calvary? How could he be so stern of getting up off his knees, going and waking up Peter, James, and John, and facing the mob that Judas Iscariot had led out to the garden to get Jesus? He knew what the will of the Father was. He wanted to accomplish the will of the Father, and the Father gave him a strength to be able to do it. And he knew he's not going to be hanging on the cross forever. It's just a short time. And after that, he's back with the Father. He's back in his glorified state. Remember the glorified state that Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount Transfiguration? Jesus' eternal state. He robed himself in flesh, but they got to see Jesus in all his glory, who he really is. So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And God has given us something to look forward to endure the trials of life, to endure the shortcomings. Not just something to look forward to, oh yeah, heaven, yep, mansion, but there's somebody with us every step of the way. We keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, but he's in us, right? He's guiding us all along the way with his joy, his love, his peace, and he's living his life in us and through us, right? And lastly, I'll end with this. We also are the recipients of his kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. We are recipients of his kingdom, that heavenly kingdom that he has prepared. Remember, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So, yeah, I can think about heaven and my home. But when I think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back for me, well, that's the joy set before me. I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm going to be able to do what the disciples had already done. I get to walk with him. I get to see him, right? All of eternity. So value this fellowship. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And if there's any sin that you know that the Lord has even shown you and convicted you of, confess it. Let him cleanse you from it so you can have a sweeter fellowship, a brighter walk with the Lord. Don't let anybody, anything hinder your fellowship. You're in control of it, and I'm in control of mine. I can let whatever in my fellowship to help my fellowship or hinder my fellowship. Whether, again, it's a bad attitude, bad thoughts, bad relationships, unforgiveness, doubt, even not having faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if I'm lacking some faith in some areas with the Lord, it's sin, and sin is pride. The root of sin is pride. I know better than God, so I'm holding on to this, and God says, okay, well, you hold on to that, and I'm just going to resist you. We're not going to walk very closely. He hasn't left you, but the Bible says he resists us. I don't want no resistance in my walk with the Lord. I mean, just picture this. Me and my wife walking. Wouldn't this be funny if we came walking to church, all of you were already here, and we come walking in, and you see her with her hand on my head just doing this. Well, what was that old saying? Talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. It was back in the 90s or whatever, you know, those Valley Girls or whatever. Anyway, wouldn't that look weird? That would look weird, right? But it's weird in our relationship with the Lord. And you know what it's, hopefully you don't, but you might know what it's like when God does have to resist you until you get some things right. And how he resists us is things don't go very well in our life. We struggle with finances. We struggle in relationships, whether it's a spouse, children, or whatever. There's more struggles than normal because God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us, hey, get that right so we can walk more in unison together and there'll be more blessings. There'll be more fellowship. It'll be sweeter. So have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this evening for this, the fellowship you have called us into. Thank you that you reconciled us unto yourself because we couldn't do it. But Lord, through your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, you've reconciled us and you've given us the ministry of reconciliation to bring others to Christ. Not just to bring others to Christ, to make things right with others. That's exactly what the reconciliation you did through Christ. We were at odds with you, and Jesus Christ being the mediator helped to make us right for the fellowship, brought us into unison, dying for our sin. And Lord, obviously we repent of our sin, and that is what brings us to salvation, turning from our sin, repenting of our sin, turning to you, crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, you blessing us with the gift of salvation. It's a beautiful, wonderful, Lord, picture of the fellowship we have with you, the relationship. Lord, help us to think about that. Help us to carry that into our daily lives as we interact with people, as we have family members, friends, co-workers. Lord, help us just to value our relationship with you first so that other relationships, Lord, will be valuable to us as well. Father, I ask that you would bless your people, give them safety as they travel home tonight. Continue to bless us through the remainder of this week, blessing our time on this coming Sunday. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, prayer requests or praises.